quorum. I would like approval of the minutes of the members' meeting held on August 5th, 2020. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting held on August 5th, 2020?
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. I'd now like to call on the President, Eric Endelin, to make a presentation.
Thank you, Louise, and to all the members in attendance for our second virtual board meeting. I want to thank the HDC staff who have worked hard to make it possible for us to have this meeting virtually and allow us to be incredibly productive for what's become a sustained period of time in a remote working environment. We're operating in uncertain times, but there continues to be a reason for hope and for our mission to create affordable housing for New Yorkers is a big part of that. As our city continues efforts to keep cases from spiking while rebuilding our economy and reopening essential services like schools, we're acutely aware of the important role we play as an affordable housing agency. Since the pandemic began, we have demonstrated and should be proud of the fact that New York City has been able to open construction safely and at scale, creating jobs when other sectors are not. Affordable housing, both new construction and preservation, will continue to play a critical role in the city's economic recovery. We know that our city had a shortage of affordable housing before the pandemic, and the ongoing economic downturn makes this even more acute. The items we bring to you today will result in safe, stable, affordable homes for thousands of New Yorkers, many of whom belong to communities hit hardest by the pandemic, including NYCHA residents and people with low incomes. We're starting to see the impact of our strong partnership with NYCHA on the ground, and the results are impressive. To date, nearly 8,000 NYCHA apartments across 33 developments have converted to Section 8 through the PACT program, which brings comprehensive repairs to residents under a more stable funding source. We are proud to share that the first such development that HDC partnered with NYCHA on, Baychester Murphy, is nearing completion. Residents at this development in the Bronx have new kitchens, bathrooms, building exteriors, bright new hallways, clean grounds, and other amenities. And there are starting to be materials that we can share and will share with the board and others over time that show these improvements in terms of quality of life, but also visually. In short, PACT is working and working well. After reports from the audit and governance committees, we'll share for your review and approval the next group of developments in the PACT program. Our Executive Director for Public Housing Finance and Lending Strategies, Hannah Blitzer, will present more details on the next issuance of housing impact bonds to bring the benefits of the PACT program to residents in over 1,700 NYCHA apartments as part of the Manhattan bundle. Our work on the Housing New York plan also continues in earnest. You'll hear presentations from EVP Anthony Richardson, SVP Ruth Marrera, and Senior Project Manager Julie Gonzalez on important preservation and new construction initiatives as we seek to provide long-term stability and affordability to more New Yorkers. HDC remains in close contact with our partners to monitor the financial health of the properties in our portfolio. To date, our properties continue to perform relatively well. However, as more time passes since the fiscal stimulus, federal income supports run out and the pandemic drags on, we need a real stimulus package from the federal government that includes strong investment in multifamily housing. We continue to work with representatives in Washington and our colleagues across the country to call for rent relief for tenants, supports for multifamily landlords, and tools to increase affordable housing production so that we can continue to get people back to work and keep people in stable housing. I'd just like to say, by way of background, there's about $6 trillion in stimulus that has occurred, about $4 trillion of that through various bills, including the CARES Act, and about $2 trillion in liquidity. And some of that has been very useful in supporting the multifamily sector. But all of that at this point is not any kind of permanent relief or even granted relief, direct relief that does not have to be repaid. Tenants at this point in multifamily housing are expected to negotiate with their landlord after the end of the eviction moratoria to repay that. Borrowers are supposed to negotiate with lenders to repay any kind of forbearance that has happened. And so there's a cliff coming on the multifamily side, and we're not ignoring that fact. We're trying to pay as much attention to it and as talk to as many people as we can about it. I'm going to do this report a little bit differently. I want to pause for a moment and give Rich or Ellen or both a chance to talk about the capital markets and a little bit of liquidity and what they've seen. And then I'll jump back in for the balance of this. So, Ellen, do you want to make any comments here?
Sure. I'll jump in quickly. That the issues in the capital markets are kind of clear. The city's been downgraded, and there's some questions about that, and there's a question about revenues and the like. With respect to housing, the market has been strong because people need to have a home. And so our performance and our ability to disclose how our portfolio is performing, and it's been performing well, has given us market access. We've been in the market several times since the beginning of COVID. There's been a lot of intervention, as Eric pointed out, in the capital markets from the Federal Reserve and the like that has provided stability. There have been some choppy times, and we do have a little bit of a concern about future choppy times, depending on generally what happens in the next few weeks. But hopefully we will have market access and we'll be able to continue doing what we do and do well. The other thing is it's been a lower rate environment, and that has impacted us as an investor. So we're conscious of that as well. But on the flip side, we can offer lower rates, and that'll be part of hopefully what we'll be financing later this year. So, and including the transaction that's in front of you today.
Thank you, Rich. Ellen, you're good? Okay.
And any additional comments? Thank you.
Great, thank you. So, continuing with my report, just if folks will allow me one brief public service announcement, I feel an obligation to kind of say this. When we all look back on this era, I think one thing will stand out pretty sharply, and it's this. While one can debate the efficacy of a single mask or whether it provides an individual mask wearer or user with 60 or 80% protection when COVID has been allowed to circulate freely, it's also been clear now for months that the collective use of masks in public places, meaning I wear a mask to protect you and you wear a mask to protect me, provides over 99% protection by reducing both the immediate transmission and the circulating level of the virus, allowing our society and economy to reopen safely. So acting together, collective action, we can drive the circulating level of COVID down and out in a matter of weeks. We've known this since March and April, while safely bridging more Americans to a vaccine. The failure of our federal government to lead and to communicate clearly on this simple fact, and at times intentionally misleading people on this, has cost tens of thousands of lives and trillions of dollars in lost productivity. It will stand out as an absolute low point in our history. With that, I would remind everyone to please, please vote. Finally, before we move into today's agenda, HDC would like to take some time to honor the memory of an important partner, colleague, and friend, Joe Rogers. Joe was a tax attorney who played a crucial role in helping to establish the open resolution, among many other contributions. It's with sadness that I share the news of Joe's passing last week, and Rich Froelich would like to share a few words in his honor. Rich, please do.
Thanks, Eric. I just wanted to say a few words about Joe Rogers. He spent many years providing sage tax advice to HDC, amongst other multifamily and single-family bond issuers at our bond council, Hawkins, Delafield, and Wood. Joe Rogers' nickname was Buck, like in the science fiction comic character. But he bore a lot more in common with the other Mr. Rogers. Yes, he was a man like that. Kindly, thoughtful, soft-spoken, and respectful. He was also smart and creative. He was the dean of housing tax lawyers and even wrote the book on housing bonds with his partner at Hawkins, Howard Zucker. When news of his passing last week was shared with the HDC team and alumni, as well as some of our finance colleagues, stories were shared about how instrumental he was in transactions that seeded the financial engine of HDC that we know today. The ability to issue taxes and bonds come with many rules and responsibilities. This is particularly true with private activity bonds for housing, as issuers like HDC lend to private entities and individuals. Among the many rules come certain limitations on how much an agency can make on its loans and its refunding of existing debt. Joe is a very capable lawyer and figured out ways for HTC to retain profits on transactions that helped make HTC a wealthy agency while complying with the strict IRS rules. Nowadays, we have an easier time with the tax limitations because HTC simultaneously subsidizes housing with its earnings. Nevertheless, the wealth created has meant that HTC can play an important role in subsidizing and enhancing affordable housing in New York. Everyone who worked with him at HTC and throughout the affordable housing bond industry have fond memories of him. He was smart and capable, and he will be missed. He worked in HTC transactions for almost 40 years as an attorney and partner and counsel at Hawkins. He officially retired a few years ago, but still was a resource to be tapped on with questions until recently. Joe, we did not get to say thank you and goodbye, but I know that he knows that we truly appreciated him and that may he rest in peace. And we extend our condolences and sympathy to his wife, Lorene, and their family. Thanks.
Thank you, Rich, for a really lovely tribute to our friend and colleague. He is missed. With that, I'd like to turn it back to the commissioner and chair for the rest of today's agenda. Louise, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for speaking about Joe, and thank you all for 8,000 units for NYCHA. NYCHA to us is a moral obligation, and 8,000 units is an impressive achievement. And so thank you to all of the staff and team at HTC. Now, pursuant to Public Authorities Accountability Act, and for the purpose of discussing the next items on our agenda, we will now commence the meeting of HTC's Finance Committee. I'd like to call on Harry Gould to make a presentation and to report to us on the Audit Committee.
Comments on the failure of this administration. And if you need any further proof, you can listen to the Woodward tapes of his interview with his son-in-law, we released yesterday and this morning, to see how inept and I don't want to go into that a long speech, but it's Eric's comments were well placed. The other thing, on a more positive note, I would recommend if anybody hasn't done it yet, to see the PAC video. Which gives a very very warm feeling, good feeling going forward as to this program. So that's just an aside. As far as the Audit Committee, we met prior to this meeting, at which time Ernst & Young presented their audit plan for the upcoming audit of the corporation's annual financial statements. The members also reviewed the third quarter financial statements, another investment, debt, credit, and internal audit reports. And that actually concludes my report.
Thank you. Just for everyone, is the HDC's the PAC video on your website?
It was a link that Eric sent on a Vimeo. And so easily just click on it and you can watch the video.
Yeah, I don't believe it's up on the website for public consumption yet, but we did share with board members. And I think when it is more broadly released, and maybe Hannah or others can say more about this, Hannah will be presenting later in our agenda, but you know, that will be available. There's also really great images coming out of the work that we're doing. I mean, people who've seen NYCHA sites and know how kind of monolithic they can look, there's starting to be a lot of really interesting work that's happening on the exteriors of buildings and landscaping and lighting that's really making a huge difference. So more to come on that. But Louise, to your question, we'll see when we can get the link up and we'll advertise where it goes. NYCHA's a little more in control of that than we are at this point, but
when it goes up, I recommend a viewing for everyone. Thank you so much. At this point, I would like to call on Harry Gould again to present to us the report of the Governance Committee.
Okay. Again, the Governance Committee met prior to this meeting, at which time we received an update on Jim Quinlevin's new position. senior policy advisor for both HPD and HDC. And this new role, Jim will serve as a liaison coordinating efforts between HPD and HDC and will no longer be an officer of HDC. This concludes my report.
Thank you, Harry. I just want to say thank you to Eric and to HDC for letting me have Jim Quinlivan back. I can't tell you how much of a difference he makes at HPD for me. He is heads all of my senior policy efforts, and you know, HDC has tremendous staff, and I'm grateful that you let me have one of them. Thank you.
Okay. Well, HDC is reviving the Lend-Lease program.
That's right. So I would like to call on Hannah Blitzer to present to us the approval of Housing Impact Bonds 2020 Series C and D for NYCHA Pact Manhattan Bundle and approval of a mortgage loan.
Hannah? Thank you. Please note that a blacklined board memo has been circulated to members. I am pleased to recommend that the members approve the adoption of the Housing Impact Bond Resolution and the origination of a permanent loan in an amount not to exceed $317,975,000, and that the members approve the origination of a permanent, senior, unenhanced, non-accelerating, or SUN loan in an amount not to exceed $77 million for the Manhattan Bundle 1 development. Manhattan Bundle 1 is part of the Permanent Affordability Commitment Together, or PACT strategy, outlined in the 2018 NYCHA 2.0 Strategic Plan, which describes how the city will reinvest and reposition public housing through Section 8 conversions. Under PACT, housing operating subsidies will shift to Section 8 voucher subsidy from Section 9 public housing subsidies, enabling borrowing that will finance significant rehabilitation. Apartments will be converted to Section 8 through various tools of the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development, including the Rental Assistance Demonstration, or RAD, program, Section 18 of the Housing Act of 1937, and CFR Part 200. Upon conversion to Section 8, property management will transfer to a third-party management company with extensive experience managing scattered site developments. NYCHA will maintain control and decision rights by retaining fee ownership of the land and by acting as a member of the borrowing entity. NYCHA will guarantee certain resident protections, and residents will pay no more than 30% of their income towards rent, with the balance covered by Section 8. Subject to HUD and Fannie Mae approval, the Housing Impact Bond proceeds are expected to fund a mortgage loan not to exceed $317,975,000. The mortgage loan is expected to be secured by supplemental security in the form of a standby credit enhancement agreement issued by Fannie Mae. HDC will be obligated to cover losses on the top 10% of the mortgage loan, which will be a general obligation of the corporation and will be outlined in a loss share agreement between HDC and Fannie Mae. The mortgage loan is expected to have a 30-year term and will be interest only for 3 years, after which it will amortize over a 40-year amortization schedule with an interest rate of 4.357%. The corporation also expects to originate a $77 million SUN loan, funded with its unrestricted reserves or available funds of the open resolution. A $30 million portion of the SUN loan will be funded by NYCHA, evidenced by a participation agreement. The SUN loan will be senior, unenhanced, and non-accelerable, with fixed principal and interest payments that are designed to mimic real estate taxes. The SUN loan will have a 40-year term and will fully amortize after a 3-year interest-only period. The SUN loan is non-accelerating, with only the annual amount due in senior position, and will be evidenced by a separate mortgage for each of the 40 years in the term. The SUN loan will not require external credit enhancement because of its high debt service coverage and particularly low repayment risk. The corporation developed the SUN loan structure to leverage resources and save on costs such as third-party credit enhancement fees. The proceeds of the mortgage loan and the SUN loan will be used for the acquisition, rehabilitation, and permanent mortgage for 1,718-unit multifamily rental housing development known as Manhattan Bundle 1, consisting of 41 buildings located at 16 New York City Housing Authority-owned properties in the Washington Heights, Central Harlem, East Harlem, Upper West Side, Bay, and Manhattanville neighborhoods of Manhattan. The 16 developments that comprise Manhattan Bundle 1 will all convert to Section 8 operating subsidy through a variety of conversion methods all mentioned previously. The combined development will include up to 28 long-term project-based Section 8 housing assistance payment contracts. At the requirement of the HAP contract, residential units will be reserved for households earning no more than 50% of area median income. The overwhelming majority of existing residents meet this income restriction. Nonetheless, all residents will have the right to remain in their homes after the subsidy conversion. In February 2019, NYCHA issued a request for proposals for a co-developer partner for the project. And in June 2019, a joint committee of NYCHA and HDC selected PACT Renaissance Collaborative LLC, a joint venture between Monadnock Development LLC, Lemoore Development Group, and Kalel Holdings LLC as developer members, the Community Preservation Corporation and the Community Development Trust as investor members, and the Community League of the Heights as nonprofit member. Monadnock Development will provide day-to-day decision-making responsibilities. NYCHA will also be a part of the borrowing entity. Please note that the ownership percentage interests listed in the board memo are approximate and subject to change. NYCHA will continue to hold fee title to the development with the borrower as lessee under a 99-year ground lease. Upon conversion, the property management duties will transition to Cornell Pace Inc. for an agreement between the two entities acceptable to the corporation and NYCHA. The general contractor of the rehabilitation work will be Monadnock Construction. The proposed rehabilitation work is extensive and is expected to bring significant quality of life improvements to residents, promote energy efficiency, and enhance the development's physical appearance. The comprehensive scope will address the development's 20-year capital needs as required by HUD, including, among other items, upgraded kitchens and baths, mechanical and electrical upgrades, lead testing and abatement, and roof facade and repair. The tenant-in-place rehabilitation period is anticipated to be 36 months. At closing, HDC will fund a mortgage loan in an amount not to exceed $317,975,000. The loan will be secured by the leasehold mortgage and will be subordinate to the annual payments of the Sun loan in an amount not to exceed $77 million. The risks and fees associated with the development are described in greater detail in the memo before you. And now I'll open up to any questions.
Mr. Chairman? Madam Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I have a question and then a comment. The question is, And as the president is aware, this is something that I believe is applicable to more than just this resolution. Am I correct that under no circumstances whatsoever can NYCHA engage in any infill construction on any of these projects without first coming back to us for approval?
That's correct.
Is that correct?
Yes, they would come back to us for approval.
Correct.
I just want to have that memorialized for the record. Since I have no confidence in NYCHA, I do not believe it. I believe the tenants ought to take over these projects. That's my view. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And duly noted by the staff. Are there any more questions?
If there aren't any more questions, Susanna Lipsight will now present the authorizing resolutions.
The members are requested to approve an authorizing resolution that provides for the adoption of supplemental resolutions to the Housing Impact Bond Resolution. The issuance of the bonds, the execution of the top loss agreement, and other activities listed therein and in the memo before you. The members are asked to authorize the use of the corporation's general obligation pledge in an amount not to exceed 10% of the outstanding principal of the mortgage loan, plus costs associated with any delinquency resolution. The members are asked to authorize the origination of the Sun loan in an amount not to exceed $77 million, the use of the corporation's unrestricted reserves in an amount not expected to exceed $47 million, and the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation the participation agreement with NYCHA and the mortgage-related documents and other documents necessary to accomplish the Sun loan financing.
Madam Chairman, On the representations made, I move the resolution.
Any second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Oh, may I, Louise, make a point? I'm required under the conflict of interest rules to make a disclosure, which will apply, and I hope not to have to repeat it. Members of my firm, but not I, represent from time to time J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, Jefferies, and Goldman Sachs. I do not have to recuse having made that statement.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Any opposed? Motion carries. Next on our agenda is approval of loans for Pratt Towers and Highbridge House, and I'd like to call on Ruth Burr to make this presentation.
Hello, thank you. I am pleased to recommend that the members approve the origination of a loan for the Pratt Towers development and the purchase of a participation interest in a loan originated by the New York Community Bank, NYCB, for the Highbridge House development, each a loan and together the loans, in an amount not expected to exceed $14,238,000 to finance the acquisition, rehabilitation, and or permanent financing for the development, as described herein. All or a portion of the loans will be funded with the corporation's unrestricted reserves. Pratt Tower. The proceeds of the loan for Pratt Towers will be used by the owner of Pratt Towers for the purpose of preserving a 327-unit Mitchell-Lama cooperative. It is anticipated that a portion of the proceeds of the loan for Pratt Towers will be used to fund substantial rehabilitation work and recapitalize the project's reserves. The Pratt Towers loan will be structured as a senior permanent mortgage with a term of up to 35 years and a fixed interest rate. Highbridge House. The proceeds of the loan for Highbridge House will be used by the owner of Highbridge House, a 400-unit rental development, to fund the purchase of a participation interest and an existing senior permanent mortgage loan originated by New York Community Bank, pursuant to a participation agreement between the corporation and NYCB and costs related to acquisition to facilitate the long-term preservation of the project. The NYCB loan has a 10-year term with principal amortization over a 30-year schedule, an initial fixed interest rate period for the first 5 years, and a variable rate period for the remaining 5 years. The Highbridge House loan is conservatively underwritten with a higher than normal debt service coverage ratio, thereby mitigating the balloon balance upon maturity of the loan. The terms of the existing senior mortgage loan will remain unchanged after the corporation's purchase of the participation interest. The Highbridge House development is expected to benefit from a new HUD project-based voucher Section 8 contract. The corporation's credit committee has determined that the addition of the contract and a concurrent restructuring of the registered legal rent for those residential units included in the contract are necessary for the project to generate sufficient rental income for the project to support the existing financing. After closing on the proposed loan, HTC will direct the owner to re-register the legal rents with the New York State Department of Homes and Community Renewal to enable the project to benefit from the full value of the voucher payment under the contract without increasing the tenant's share of the rental income. The primary risk associated with each loan is a payment default by the borrower. The corporation staff believes that this risk is mitigated by strict underwriting, each borrower's financial strength and experience, and the corporation's ongoing asset management and monitoring of the development. Please see attachments A1 and A2 for a more detailed description of each development. In addition, more information concerning the risks and mitigating factors is included in your memorandum. Are there any questions?
Madam Chairman, so that I can avoid repeating what I said for the last time, and this is not a NYCHA one, I just want to be very clear that the same would apply to all future ones today, if that's all right, including PAC.
Absolutely. And the staff? Duly noted. Are there any other questions?
So moved.
To the members, are requested to authorize the corporation to 1, make the Pratt Towers loan, 2, purchase a participation interest in the existing NYCB Highbridge House Loan and enter into a participation agreement for said loan. Use the corporation's unrestricted reserves in an amount not to exceed $14,238,000 and permit the execution by an authorized officer of the corporation of related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish the financing and participation.
So moved.
Any second?
Second.
In favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Next on the agenda is approval of a supplemental resolution amended and restated multifamily mortgage revenue bonds, 101 Avenue D Apartments, bond resolution authorizing multifamily mortgage revenue bonds, 101 Avenue D Apartments, and 2010 Series A. I'd like to call on Julie Gonzalez to make this presentation.
Thank you. I'm pleased to present for the members' approval the supplemental resolution of the corporation's multifamily mortgage revenue bonds, 101 Avenue D Apartments bond resolution, originally adopted by the members on April 8th, 2010, and issued on June 3rd, 2010, for the purpose of financing a mortgage loan in the amount of $25 million to 101 Avenue D Associates LLC and 101 Affordable LLC for the construction of 101 Avenue Z Apartments, a 78-unit multifamily rental housing development in Manhattan, developed under the corporation's new HOP mixed income 50-30-20 program. A subordinate loan from the corporation's unrestricted reserves in the amount of $2,535,000 was also funded. On June 1st, 2016, the corporation adopted the amended and restated multifamily mortgage revenue bonds, 101 Avenue D Apartments bond resolution, amending and restating the original bond resolution. And on September 8th, 2016, the then outstanding bonds in the amount of $22,700,000 were purchased from existing bondholders by Capital One Municipal Funding, a subsidiary of Capital One, pursuant to a remarketing purchase contract. A mortgage purchase agreement with respect to the bonds was entered into by Capital One and the corporation. The project originally comprised two condominium units in a three-unit condominium, consisting of a LIHTC unit with 16 low-income apartments and one superintendent apartment, and a market middle unit, consisting of 61 residential apartments and ground floor commercial space. The third unit comprised a community facility owned by the Lower East Side Girls Club of New York. In 2019, in order to expand their premises, the Girls Club entered into a contract of sale with the market middle unit owner, 101 Avenue D Associates LLC, to purchase the retail space. Capital One Bank, as servicer, and Capital One as bondholder approved the sale, removing the retail from the market middle unit. And a new fourth condominium unit comprised of the former retail space was created. HDC Legal and Asset Management also approved the transaction and agreed to remove the retail space from the lien of the mortgages and from the regulatory agreement. In connection with the release of the retail space, Capital One required cash collateralization of approximately $2.65 million of outstanding bond principal. Because of the cash collateral, Capital One has agreed, at the borrower's request, to reduce the spread component of the interest rate on the bonds, which currently bear an interest rate equal to 100% of the SIFMA index rate, plus a spread of 145 basis points. The reduction in spread will not cause a reissuance of the bond for federal income tax purposes and is to be affected by an amendment of the bond resolution consented to by Capital One as sole bondholder. All other terms and conditions of the financing of the bonds are as contemplated in the original agreement. HDC Asset Management has confirmed that the project is in good standing, both physically and financially. As of September 2020, the property was 96% leased with four vacant market rate units. There has been a decrease in lease renewals and retention rates since the start of the COVID pandemic. However, management have implemented some concessions for a term of approximately less than 1 month in order to offset. The property reports they have exceeded net cash flow projections by $134,000 year to date, in part driven by savings in debt service due to very low CIFMA rate resets and a decrease in operating expenses. The impacts and risks to the corporation have been detailed in your memorandum, and a brief project description has been attached as Exhibit A. If there are no questions, Susanna will present the authorizing resolution. Thank you.
Eric, can I ask a question? How many non-payments have there been during the course of an average period of since the beginning of COVID?
I don't think we'd have it as listed as non-payments. I think we'd have it, we track it as a percentage. Are you talking about a specific project or?
No, in this one.
Oh, I don't know, Julie or Anthony, do you want to answer that?
Sure. Are you talking about non-payments of the interest obligations to the corporation?
Non-payment of rent.
Payments of rent.
Correct.
We can get more information. They've had very low vacancies since the beginning of COVID, although they have had some challenges in retention. And part of that has been to offer some concessions. However, because of the low interest rate environment, the project has been viable and has had plenty of cash flow to support all of its obligations.
Please understand, I'm tracking this in terms of A, the geography of the area, and B, what the percentages are of non-payments, because there will come a time where we're going to have to, in the legislature, take a position on whether or not the moratorium continues or not under it.
Yeah,
we're there to watch it.
We totally understand that, Chuck. I would argue that that's an issue across our portfolio. We'll certainly get it on this particular one, but we're tracking that more across, and it does vary significantly by program type. We've had some programs that might be missing 15%. Anything that has strong support or Section 8 is in much better shape, but we can get that for you. We've just been looking at that broadly. Yeah.
Great work. But if you could, that would be helpful. I think most of the members of the board would like to see that data because it's instructive.
Right. So a little bit more. So the thing about this project is it has a significant market rate component. And what we're seeing in market rate is that there's more vacancy. They're not running into people not paying rent as much there. There's people are just moving and they're having a hard time filling and there's a gap. And in particular in Manhattan, what we've seen more broadly with our portfolio is that there is a certain percentage of non-rent payment that's not impacting on the debt side. We have very limited debt challenges, and there are a few forbearances that we discussed in the audit committee meeting. There's been essentially no delinquency overall, except for, as I said, a few forbearance. So we do track this issue, and in particular, when people are asking for assistance, we are checking for more data. So we are following up, and we have some information, and we can provide probably a picture from our dashboard that will give you a sense of how the portfolio overall is performing.
Rich, just to make the point that there is an anomaly in what you said. If people are not failing to pay, but remaining there, are failing to pay, but instead of failing to pay continually, are moving out. That's an anomaly because on the West Side, it's a continuing failure to pay with a non-move. That's why I need to get this data.
Yeah, we'll have more of that. As Rich alluded to, we've started setting up more of a dashboard to kind of look at this stuff very closely. Because I'll say a couple things about that really quickly. Totally understand your point making the distinction between physical vacancy and economic vacancy, where people are in some cases moving out, the units vacant, and there's rent missing for that reason. In other cases, people aren't paying. For most of the affordable stuff where people have stayed in place, and largely because of the income supports, the unemployment insurance and the payroll protection, we found that our portfolio held up well. Those supports, as I said in my report, ended and in audit, ended at the end of July. And I think we're all in a mode, and we've talked to a lot of big holders and other partners, including some CDFI partners, on how their portfolios are holding up. there's a lot of watchful waiting going on, to be quite honest, and there's an expectation that this deterioration, should it come, would maybe show up in November and December because of the end of that income support. But we absolutely would, and if it's interesting to the board members, we can set up some communication around what that dashboard that Rich talked about looks like and where we think things are going on that.
That would be very helpful to me.
You got it.
Thank you. And I would like to assure my fellow board member that both agencies, including HDC, have been tracking this, and we have been talking to all of the industry folks, and that Rich is right. The market rate stock, the Redmi type stock, is acting very differently to the rest of the market, that it's more people moving out as opposed to not paying rent.
Some of the, I'll just add to that, just so people kind of know, when I mentioned in the report about this kind of cliff of rent, there's, you know, NCSHA, one of our trade associations, estimated that there's $34 billion owed by 12 million households up to January nationally. Others have put that, I just saw reports recently that have that at $50 billion. And as we noted, there's no real permanent forbearance on that. There's really an expectation that people will be negotiating to pay that back. It's a real problem that we see coming. And as Rich said, some of our folks who have market rate stuff are talking about vacancy levels in New York that are fairly high and concerning. That's less of an impact to us immediately, but it's real. So more to come on that. And we appreciate you raising the question.
Thank you.
Any other questions for members of the board? If there are no more questions, Susanna, will you go ahead?
The members requested to approve the authorizing resolution, which provides for the adoption of the supplemental resolution, amending the bond resolution, and the execution of mortgage-related documents and any other documents necessary to accomplish the interest rate change described today.
Do I have a motion to approve the supplemental resolution, amending and the restated multifamily mortgage revenue bonds, 101 Avenue D Apartments, bond resolution authorizing multifamily mortgage revenue bonds, 101 Avenue D Apartments, the 2010 Series A, and other actions by the members described in the memo before you?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. I'd now like to call on Anthony Richardson to make his first presentation on approval of declaration of intent resolution for packed Williamsburg houses and various addresses in Brooklyn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you know, the declaration of intent resolutions are solely for tax code purposes, allowing any expenditures incurred by a project developer within 60 days prior to the date the resolution is passed to be eligible for tax-exempt bond financing. Before HDC were to actually finance a project, the specifics of the transaction would be presented to the members for review and approval. Packed Williamsburg houses. The proposed project will consist of the rehabilitation of 1,630 rental apartments in 20 buildings located in the Williamsburg neighborhood of Brooklyn, using approximately $385 million in tax-exempt bonds. It is to be developed by a single purpose entity or entities to be formed by MDG Design and Construction, Wavecrest Management, and the New York City Housing Authority. The members are asked to approve the resolution at this time.
Do I have a motion to approve the declaration of intent resolution for packed Williamsburg houses?
So moved.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Anthony Richardson will make his second presentation concerning packed Harlem River preservation and various addresses in Manhattan, New York, and their preservation program.
Thanks. The proposed project will consist of the rehabilitation of 693 rental apartments in 8 buildings located in the West Harlem section of Manhattan, using approximately $148 million in tax-exempt bonds. The project is to be developed by a single purpose entity to be formed by Settlement Housing Fund, West Harlem Group Assistance, and NYCHA. The members are asked to approve the resolution at this time.
Do I have a motion to approve the Declaration of Intent Resolution for Pact Harlem River Preservation?
So moved.
Any second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. At this time, I would like to close the meeting of the Finance Committee and call for a motion of the HBC Board to ratify those items just approved by the Finance Committee. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Any second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Before I get to other business, I would like to congratulate our fellow board member, Jack Sheha, on being appointed as the budget director for the City of New York. It is an amazing job and a difficult one at this time, but I'd like to say that Jack has been a valuable and reliable member of this board. And Jack, I hope with all of the additional responsibilities that we will continue to see you and you'll continue to be a participant at these meetings. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Madam Chairman, I've had the privilege of being on several boards over many years with Jack Sheha. He is one of the most distinguished public servants this city has ever seen. I congratulate him.
Thank you. Thank you, Tom.
If I could, I would add my congratulations. And in the spirit of that, one other note I'd like to call out that Harry Gould has been reappointed to the HDC board again. And Harry let me know that he's within one appointment of a 50-year period. And so we could not be more grateful for such a fantastic public servant to have stayed with HDC for so long and helped to shepherd such great growth and such great work that's been done for the city. So I'd also like to congratulate Harry and thank him for that service as well.
Does that mean Harry was appointed at birth?
Very good. No, I was 3 years old at the time. But yeah. I had to wait till I had to, could walk a little.
Had to learn how to count to run the audit committee.
Congratulations. It's great.
Thank you.
Any other business? There being no other business, I would like to call for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Any second?
Second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. This meeting is adjourned. Congratulations, everybody, and thank you so much.
Take care. Take care, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.